In my office, on my wall, hangs a calendar of pictures. It's an old calendar now, and I just use the picture part to remind me of things in my past. On this Father's Day, we celebrate our children and grandchildren. This week, when I looked at this calendar that hangs on my wall, I saw one picture that reminded me of something. I saw a picture of a little boy, a toddler really, wearing his daddy's shoes. His feet, of course, way too small to fill a big man's shoes. And yet, there he stands. There he stands proudly, trying on his daddy's shoes. His smile frozen in time. But if you were to watch the movie in my mind's eye of this day, you would see him stumbling, trying to walk in his daddy's shoes. Trying on. Putting on someone else's shoes, trying to walk in their shoes, a son and a father. Today we hear a story from Deuteronomy that is an encouragement to parents and to grandparents of the importance of sharing their faith. The importance of allowing younger ones than us to try on those big shoes. To try on an adult-like faith. Indeed, the story reminds us that it is our responsibility. Parents and grandparents, it's on us to share the stories. I'm afraid far too long in our Southern American society, we've looked to the culture around us, but no longer can we do that. Far too long we've looked to the school systems to teach faith, but we can no longer do that. And truthfully, far too long we've expected the church to do that. But did you notice in Deuteronomy, the responsibility lands not on the community's shoulders, not on the school district's shoulders, not even on the church's shoulders. The responsibility for sharing the stories of faith rests on the parents' shoulders. Now, some of you know me and know that I try to keep up with research on what's being done when it comes to faith development. I've taken a lot of webinars, gone to a lot of classes over these last 5 years. What is it that the research, real hardcore data and numbers, are teaching us about faith? Will our children have faith? That's really the question. The research says that the number one influence when it comes to a child's life of faith, whether they will grow up to follow Jesus Christ or not, the number one influence are their parents. The close second number two influence are their grandparents. And then comes the church. And then fourth comes their peers. Now that's from research, folks. That's from real numbers on a piece of paper, not from stories told. This is from real numbers. Parents, grandparents, it is on our shoulders. So what does that mean? What does that suggest to us as a church? What is our responsibility then in the midst of that? To equip parents and grandparents to share their own faith. To provide opportunities for parents and grandparents to be strengthened, encouraged, supported as they tell the stories. God knew that. Our ancestors in the faith understood that, and the story of Deuteronomy is that it is on our shoulders to tell the stories of God's love. Did you notice? When? The Deuteronomist writes that it is when you lie down. In other words, on those times when you are at rest, when you go to bed at night, you need to tell the stories. And when you rise up, in the morning time, when the day begins, we need to tell the stories of God's love. When you're about your work, when you're traveling on vacation, and when it's the everyday ordinariness of life, we tell the stories of God's love. The stories of Old and New Testament. Have you noticed that when Jesus gathered with a group of people to eat a meal, that He prayed? Did you notice that when Jesus took the disciples away to a secluded place, the goal was to go and pray and rest? Did you notice that Jesus Himself, when He was worn out, would get up early in the morning and go and pray? Did you notice that story from Luke 24 when they're walking along the way? Jesus talks to the disciples about the stories of faith. Or maybe when Joshua crosses with the people into the promised land, in just a few chapters after this story, when we turn the page to the book of Joshua, he tells them to pick up stones out of the river to make a monument so that when that passed that way again and their children ask, what do these stories mean? What do these stones mean? That they can tell the stories of God's love. Martin Luther, a great German theologian, every time he took a bath, he remembered the waters of baptism. How often do you take a bath? Do you remember the cleansing love of God in that bath? Our ancestors, because of God's decree, set aside one day a week. They worked 6 days a week and set aside one day a week just to remember the stories of God's love, to worship, to pray, to rest. Indeed, they went so far as to mark their homes. If you go into a Jewish family's home, you'll see a little marker on the wall in the doorpost. It's called a mezuzah. It comes from this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy, a little reminder, a physical reminder of God's love. I've got one just outside my office door if you want to see an example. A little reminder of God's love. Maybe some of you are looking at me and going, Chris, you're a broken record. How many times do we have to hear this from you? Yes, you're right. This may be one of the three sermons I preach to you, and I'm sorry for that. And yet I'm not. Because I believe this is critically important. Why is it important? Have you watched the news lately? Our world is changing. Not just incremental changes, not just little changes over time, not just a growth change. Our world is changing exponentially. So we need to equip our children. We need to give them something that can help them no matter what the future holds, so that they can adapt and respond thoughtfully to the changes that are before them. I mean, talk to a 90-year-old. They remember horse and buggy. They remember before electric lights. You now have more power in your cell phone on your hip than the first rocket to the moon did. That's a lot of change. What will the future hold for our children? We can't even begin to imagine. This week I've been very mindful of the shootings in Orlando, the death of a toddler in Orlando, and the death of a member of Parliament in England. How do we make sense of all that? Where is God in the middle of this? We have to lean on our faith. A faith that we're teaching to our children and grandchildren. Faith that we're teaching to others, especially young others in our community. Christian faith helps us name this for what it is: awful tragedy. Grief-filled sorrow. Indeed, this is not what God wants for the world. Christian faith gives us the language to name that. Indeed, there's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations where the writer cries out to God and says, "This is not what you intended." And asks the hard question, "Why are you allowing this to happen?" The same question we ask today. Christian faith also gives us the courage to respond. We respond with acts of compassion and love instead of revenge. But we're also not silent. The faith teaches us to cry out, to pray to God, to ask the hard question of why, and not just leave it there, but to work with courage for changes, to make the world a safer place for all people, be they gay or straight, Muslim or Christian, Jew or nothing at all, conservative, moderate or liberal, all of the above or none of the above. We have courage to work to make the world what God intends it to be. Christian faith gives us hope. The whole story of Easter. Death. Suffering death on a cross. The very worst that humanity can bring. The story of Easter tells us that God can redeem it. That God can bring good out of it. Not that God caused it, but that God can change it. Why is this one of the three sermons that I preach on a regular basis to you? It's because we must teach our children our faith. We must model our commitment to God for them. We must talk about our love for God with them. We must admit that we don't have all the answers figured out, but that we have faith in a big God, that we trust God, and that we work by the power of God's Spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ for the reconciliation of the world. That's why it matters. You see, that same little boy has grown to be a little taller now. He's no longer a toddler running around on unstable baby feet. But now he runs and races. He pedals his bicycle with no training wheels down a street at breakneck speed. And he still puts on his daddy's shoes from time to time. Those man-sized shoes don't seem so big anymore. And with just a little effort, he's starting to walk in daddy's shoes. But you see, I have to wonder, what example have those shoes set for him? What path have they walked down? For the boy surely looks up to his father. Has his father walked in the ways of righteousness? Has his father's shoes led him down paths of godliness? Has he taken the narrow road that leads to life that Jesus talks about? Where do the examples of your shoes lead? If someone were to walk in your shoes, what path would they go down? For you see, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. When someone younger than you follows in your footsteps, are they going to be walking the path of God? If your answer to that is no, then today is the day to change that. For all of us, it begins with prayer, praying to God, Lord, today I commit to make Your steps my steps. And then as your pastor, let me suggest you begin reading. Let me suggest the Gospel of Luke. Take it one chapter at a time, or maybe one chunk at a time, and pay attention to what Jesus does, what Jesus says. Then ask this question. In what ways can Jesus' words and actions be lived out in my daily life? Then be that person. Do those things. Say Jesus-like things. And then maybe the hardest but most important step. Talk about your faith with your children and grandchildren. With those who are younger than you. Why? Why does God matter to you? Where did you see God at work in the world today? In the bottom of your bulletin, I shared one of my favorite poems with you. It's below the announcements and prayer concerns. Careful man I want to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape his eyes, whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be, the little chap that follows me. He thinks that I'm so very fine. He believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, the little chap that follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, the little chap that follows me. When those little ones in your family, in your community, in this church, the ones who look up to you, not if, but when they follow your footsteps, where will that lead them? Will it take them down the narrow road that leads to life? Will it take them in the paths of God? Will it take them to the cross of Christ and the empty tomb to the glory of God. Amen.